This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the 3 o'clock hour, we roll. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scravey. Daily Gambit headed your way. 3-1 ball game. Mets still ahead. Mets had a chance to get another one. Blew it. And we'll see if that comes back to haunt them at some point. Playing against the Dodgers. Go ahead, Scravey.
I was just reminded on the chat from Michelle. Thank you for asking this question. Scravey! Did you mess with Chris's chips or put them back?
Ah, so I didn't catch it, but I caught wind of it.
Yeah, I did too, but I didn't see it
either. You apparently did a video about Chris's crackers. This is how much the crackers are on your mind.
Yes.
You wasted a video.
He goes home. He goes home thinking about my crackers. I mean, it's not crazy.
Do you really want some? I think that's what it feels like.
Oh, I've tried one before. They're not worth it. They're not worth it.
That's not true. Tony likes them.
I do.
A lot of people like them.
Yeah.
So, you know, just because you don't. But I do want to hear what you did with the cracker
video.
Okay,
so you got to go to your screen because I'm going to play this on YouTube.
Okay, hang on. Wait, all right.
Oh.
I'm there.
Okay, you're there. Let me
there. I was one click away. That's not bad.
Scalpel. That's not bad. You're right. All right. Here it is, everybody. The what I did with Chris's crackers.
Okay.
All right, so hold on. I didn't put it on the screen. Sorry to people who are actually in their car right now. You can go see this later if you would like to.
Yeah. But you can hear.
All right, so I was just about to leave, and I went into the refrigerator to get something, and guess what is in here? Chris's crackers. His famous
close-up
crackers.
Of them.
What should I do with them? What should I do with them? All right, so
I'm very strange. But the number one question in my inbox about this video is, why does Chris keep his crackers in the refrigerator?
I don't normally. At home, I keep them not in the refrigerator because I don't think crackers are refrigerator food. However, as far as I can tell, there's no real safe place to keep any food here that's not the refrigerator.
Touché.
So I threw it in the refrigerator, and I felt nobody would take it in there.
Except
that's
for
why.
Me. And then I walk up, and I see the crackers. And McKee
guess
says...
Guess what he found? He finally did with them. God. Here they are. He didn't do anything.
And McKee says, are they Trader Joe's rice crackers?
Yes, they are.
If so, those are super good.
Thank you.
And McKee, how about that?
Would you also like to comment on the stink of the crackers?
No stink.
It makes the studio smell like gross.
You used to bring that. What is that you used to bring?
No, that was Thomas, and it was bok choy.
Bok choy was Thomas.
Bok choy used to come in here.
Stinking up the joint.
He would be like, oh, hey, guys, I just heated up my dinner. And I'm like, what in the world? This is like a 5-course Chinese dinner you're having right now in studio. Jeez.
All right.
Anyway, I didn't do anything to
No, you didn't. But that was a cute little video.
Thanks.
Cute. Very cute. did you guys see that Bally Sports is going to have a name change?
Oh gosh. What now?
FanDuel TV.
Oh, really?
Will take over as Bally Sports.
Oh, good. I want the Padre games to be on that channel.
Well, they're not going to be.
No, I know, because Bally... Didn't they go bankrupt? I mean, didn't they disappear?
They're in the middle of bankruptcy proceedings now.
But FanDuel's come in to save the day.
They've come in to take the name right now. They didn't mention anything about taking on any teams or any of that. No terms were disclosed in the deal, but this is a much deeper conversation for later. But where is baseball headed with regional sports? I had heard a dirty rumor, and this is just a rumor, that at its end point, it's headed backwards, meaning you'll get select national games.
So there could be a day where we don't get to see every Padre game the way we do now.
That is the dirty rumor I heard.
We can have ESPN 19 showing everything, but we can't have a baseball game?
There's no, as we can see in this Bally Sports issue, there's no cashola.
There's no market apparently.
There's no market
for it. But there is a market now, for tiddlywinks on ESPN 19.
There's also a market for
cornholing.
There is. It's on TV.
All the time, by the way. It's hard to foresee a scenario in which there's not an offer for regional sports. We just don't know how it's going to look. But just based off of what we see in front of us, this Bally Sport, they're dropping more teams this next season.
Yeah.
Even more.
I think they've dropped everybody now. I don't think anyone's left.
Yeah, I think the last 16s have all been dropped.
I think everybody's been dropped. And so, now it's, if you're not MLB, you don't have anything right now. Right. Luckily, the Padres at least still have that.
Right. And so I don't know that I don't think there's going to be a station or a company that's offering.
Who? Okay. So Major League Baseball is producing the Padres games right now.
They're doing the Padres games right now.
How much do you think it would cost me, Tony? I mean, I've always wanted to call a couple of games with you. I feel if I owned the rights, I could at least convince Orsillo to let me do a couple of games with you.
Yeah, if you own the rights, you could do what you want to do.
Yeah, well, I would never fire or get rid of Orsillo. He's too good.
Well, Tony also does radio, so you're going to have to talk about
bring
Jesse.
Him over.
Wrong guy.
We bring him over. Tony does a lot of TV games during the season.
That's true. That's true.
So,
oh, wait, I want to go back. You're telling me that I will not be able, possibly, maybe, long way off, I may not be able to watch the Padres on a daily basis.
That's what I said about 10 minutes ago. I mean, based on Bally going bankrupt and no one stepping up to really, because after Bally, like who would be that company that could
distribute all? Maybe FanDuel can do it. I mean,
maybe.
Look, all of the money in the world goes only to these gambling sites. Apparently,
now that being said, FanDuel could be it. But again, Bally's claiming bankruptcy. What is going to be the offer, right? Because, you know, Bally paid a boatload of money to have these teams. They started to figure out that it ain't quite worth what they paid for.
It wasn't worth their investment.
So what happens then? Is Major League Baseball teams going to then turn around and say, all right, we'll offer our product cheaper now?
Well, that's what I was going to say is each team may have to do their own broadcast now. I don't obviously know how expensive a TV broadcast is. I'm sure it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Because it's on a daily basis. You're paying John, you're paying Mud, you're paying the producer.
You've got to pay those two guys. That puts you over the limit right there.
Yes.
The salaries.
The budget's gone once you pay
Jesse and Tony already wipe out the entire budget here at 97.3 The Fan.
It's true. It's true. That's why I worked. I ate peanuts last week.
Every time you and I ask for any money, they say, sorry, there's none left.
Listen to you guys.
I really hope that doesn't happen because that would be a major step back.
I can't imagine it now. Like if we were going back to the early 90s, I'd be like, all right, I was already used to it at that point.
Yeah.
But now I'm spoiled. I get to watch every Padre game that's available.
Yeah.
Which is all of them.
You know what I like about my sports is when they take away my sports.
It's always
a
good deal.
They get me watching every night, and then they take it away.
I mean, listen.
We can't have that, man. I mean, that is going to be a...
Chris might die.
He will not die. And he doesn't watch... Well, I don't watch every single minute of every Padre game. What I'm trying to get to, though, is that I think there'd be a bit of a fan revolt on this because every fan is used to having that ability.
Yeah.
And we've had it for like 30 years. It's not like we just had it for a couple of years.
We've had it for about almost exactly 30 years.
Right.
Around
so
that
we've
time.
Seen every game for 30 years. You're going to try to tell people, we're going to give you a couple games a week. That's going to be a hard.
It'll be
hard
interesting
to sell.
It'll be very interesting to see how this all shakes out.
That just means that it's good for Padres Radio. Only place in town you're going to be able to get the game.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, let's get to some Daily Gambit.
Yes.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot. Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. First bet we made last night was the Denver Broncos minus 2.5 over the Saints on the spread. You guys chose the Saints. I chose the Broncos. I win. Denver, 33-10, looked pretty good last
Sean
night.
Sean Payton had a happy return to New Orleans.
He sure
as
did.
It turned out. And I didn't understand the Saints' game plan.
I didn't either.
Give the ball to Kamara more than 7 times? Are you kidding me? This is Alvin Kamara. He's the only offense you have.
Apparently, Rattler and Kamara didn't also understand it at one point in the
is
game.
That right?
They both turned to the camera and said, what are we doing?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, Kamara is one of the great weapons in the game. And you know,
I believe nothing. That was his lowest amount of scrimmage yards in any game in his
career.
Well,
he only had 7 touchdowns. He got 6 passes, but every one of those went for like 1 yard.
Yeah, which if you're in a PPR league, I believe you get like 8 points for that.
You can get some points there.
You got something.
Yeah, it's not the negative .1 I got with ETN last week.
I'm not talking fantasy sports right now. I'm talking real sports, okay. And the Saints were stupid.
Yes, they were. Uh-huh. I agree. Who had more passing yards last night, Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler?
They both were pretty subpar.
Both were pretty subpar throwing the ball. We all chose Rattler, and we were correct by 8 yards. He had 172. Bo Nix had 164.
By the way, what do you do if you are, what's the guy's name for Denver, the receiver? The best
Sutton?
Receiver, Courtland Sutton.
I'm about to talk about that.
Okay, all right. So
Courtland Sutton over under 46.5 yards receiving in the game. Chris went under, and Tony and I went over. Courtland Sutton did not even get a target in the game last
night. What is
that?
Like, he's your best receiver. You don't call one play for him the whole game. And they're going to tell Sean Payton he's brilliant.
No, they were looking, but he just never threw the ball to him. Like
they were looking.
Crazy. They were looking in his direction.
What does that do? I'm looking at you, but I'm not throwing
it. No, I'm saying, like, they were trying to
that's
get
embarrassing.
Something going.
That's, I'm sorry. That's say what you want about Denver won the game. Good for them. But
and they were also up a lot.
If you can't target your number one receiver once in
a
game, that's unbelievable.
Not even a target.
That's
not even a target.
Just looking at him.
But I looked at him. Hey, coach, can I get the ball? They were looking at you.
We're lucky it's a Friday, guys.
It is Friday.
Boston College, Va Tech, over under 48 total points in the game last night. Chris and I went over. Tony went under. It was a total of 63 points. Va Tech won 42-21. Dodgers, Mets, over under 7 runs. Chris and I went over. Tony went under.
Dodgers
won
are killing me
10-2.
On the overs.
Yeah, so,
they're taking care of the overs on their own.
Yamamoto last night against Quintana, how many strikeouts, or who would have more strikeouts? We all chose Yamamoto. Yamamoto had 8 to Quintana's 2, so he wins that one. Tommy Edman over under 1.5 runs, RBIs, runs plus RBIs plus hits. Chris and Tony went over. I went under. I was wrong because he went 2-for-6 with 3 RBIs. And did Ohtani steal a base last night? Chris said yes. Tony and I said no. It was a no.
He hasn't even attempted one yet in the playoffs.
He's done.
No, he's caught stealing. He's caught stealing once.
He's already created his own club.
So did the Padres catch him stealing?
No, I think the Mets caught stealing.
Had to be Mets.
I don't remember the anyway.
He wasn't on base enough for the Padres.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
You're right.
Let's go to today's Yankees at Cleveland. Cleveland riding the wave now of the yesterday's victory. Yankees still favored by 1.5 runs. Start with you, Tony. You are 13-13 this week as you go into the
one
final
and a half
day.
Runs to the Yanks.
Yanks favored by 1.5. So if you take Cleveland, you get runs.
Give me the Yanks.
Gonna take the Yanks. All right, Scrape. Ooh, I'm a go. You're 16-10 this week, Scrape.
Guards.
You're leading, actually.
Okay. You need a bad day here.
Going guards.
I'm 13-13, just like you are, Tony. I'm rooting for the guards, so I'll take them here and hope they only lose by one. Juan Soto gets in here. 1.5 total bases.
Book
over
it.
Under. You're not your turn. Scrape.
Juan Soto hasn't been incredible during the playoffs.
Remember, a walk is not a total base.
You're right. And he gets like maybe four of those per game.
Juan Soto detractors would mention that.
I'll say he gets a double tonight.
Gets a double. Goes over. Well, you know I have to root for him to go under. Tony, you say way over.
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 Rated.
Luis Gil. Or Gil. G-I-L. I think it's Gil.
I've heard Gil.
Yeah. He's the starter for the Yankees. 4.5 strikeouts. I'm going to say under because I don't think Aaron Boone's going to leave him in the game very long. Tony?
Luis Gil, over, under 4.5 Ks.
Yes. Over.
Oh, you say over. Okay. It's great.
5 seems like a lot, so I'm going to go under.
Under. All right, into some college football now. I bring this one up because Army and Navy are both undefeated at this point in the season.
Postseason play. Just want to throw it out there.
Soto?
Yes.
All right.
It was for Scraby, not you.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Army and Navy are both undefeated at this point in the season for the first time since 1945. So this Army and Navy are both having great years. Army tomorrow favored by 17 over East Carolina. And this is a Tony. Does Army keep it going? Army's been pouring it on. So has Navy, but I don't think they're playing tomorrow.
So have the Mets.
Wow. 7-1 now in the bottom of the third. Mets.
I'm sorry. It was over. I was looking at the Mets stuff.
Yes. Army by 17.
Over.
Over? No.
That's why I asked you if it was an over.
No, it's a spread. It's a spread. 17-point spread.
Give me Army.
Army. Scraby.
Hmm.
And take the Pirates of East Carolina.
I do like them.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
I do like that.
Always been a big fan.
I'm going to go East Carolina. 17 points is a lot.
East Carolina. Oh, I got to take Army because they're hot. Texas -5 over Georgia. I believe it's the first time Georgia's been an underdog in like 4 years.
That's
been a long
good.
Stretch that Georgia has not been underdog, but they are in this game to #1 Texas. Scraby, what happens here?
One of my good friends is a major Georgia fan, and they are telling me they don't feel good about their own team. So I'm going to say Texas.
All right. I'm going to say Adam Klug's Bulldogs plus the points. Tony, Texas by 5
Texas.
Over Georgia. Texas also. Okay. WNBA title could be decided tonight. The Liberty lead 2-1 in Minnesota, over under 159.5 points. Basically, both teams need to get to 80 to beat that.
Neither of them did last game.
Not last game. It was only 73-70, I think.
Mr. Flaherty right now.
Oh, another run. 8-1.
Wow. Mets are just piling
Couldn't
on.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
I'll take Minnesota. Or no, it's over under, Chris. I'll take over. I think they go 160 points or more. Tony.
Over.
Over? Tony likes over.
Under.
Under. I told you guys the one time I bet a game, made a real bet in Vegas on an NBA Finals game, and I picked under.
And he was
and
terrible.
It was 3 hours of excruciatingly rooting for every basket to miss.
Of course it was.
Wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the $10 I won or whatever. all right, and one more. Sunday, had to throw this one in there for you, Scrabe. 49ers, 1.5 over the Chiefs in the NFL game of the week. Tony's up first. Chiefs trying to go to 6-0.
Oh, yeah. You know what it is.
Chiefs?
Pat Mahomes boy and the Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes has not been great this year.
Yeah, every time you say that, you guys are 0 of your last 5 against him.
I'm aware.
So.
He never loses.
I feel like this is going to be
the time.
This
is the year, huh?
This is
the year.
I'm not going to say anything about the playoffs, but in the regular season, they're going to break their losing streak.
I hope so for y'all's sake, because at some point, you start looking across that line like...
They're better than us.
Especially if it's a close game, you know how it's ending.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw an interception or throw a touchdown
as
the time runs out.
There you go. Exactly how it's going.
Did you make a pick in there somewhere?
Yeah, 49.
Okay.
Baby.
I hate to go with Scraby, but I just think the Chiefs have too many injuries. And I also have to root for every team to lose
a game.
All
right, we got
to
book it to break, guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The Dodgers, they're just leaving Flaherty out there to die.
He's got 73 pitches in 3 innings.
And he's given up 8 runs now. We'll tell you what the Mets did to pile on when we come back as Gwen and Chris continues after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Gwen and Chris, back with you. This will be a fun segment. Now, for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're going to recap the Mets just pouring it on the Dodgers here. Alonso hit the three-run homer. Dodgers scored on a wild pitch in the second inning to make it 3-1. Bottom of the third, though, Marte, two-run double. And then with two outs, three consecutive hits, Alvarez RBI single, Lindor RBI triple, Nimmo RBI single. It is 8-1 now, Mets. Jack Flaherty was hoping to pitch the Dodgers into the World Series today. Instead, he's pitched himself three innings and given up eight hits and eight runs. We'll keep an eye on it for you. The Dodgers are able to creep their way back. But we wanted to talk about tomorrow's big game in college football. Georgia's facing Texas. And as far as that, I think it's a good game. I'm trying to watch some of it. Top five teams. Texas is the new number one. Georgia's kind of the old number one.
Ooh-wee.
Whoa, what a homer that was by
Páez. 8-2.
8-2. Thank you, Tony. So Georgia's going to take on Texas. And all I cared about when I saw this matchup was the last time they faced each other, which was in the Sugar Bowl in 2019. And you're maybe asking yourself, well, why would this game matter? What does anybody remember about this game? When I tell you what happened, you're going to probably remember it out there.
Yeah.
It was the night that Bevo, the Longhorn, tried to break out of his stall and almost did.
He was going after Uga.
Trying to attack Uga, the mascot of Georgia.
Yep.
It was a memorable moment. Do you have some of the audio of this?
Here's the audio.
Crazy moment.
This is like a man walking on the moon. Never before.
Oh, my Lord! Oh!
Bevo!
Oh!
Can live television get better than that? No! Maybe that was not the best idea, but we don't care.
Can we get a replay on that?
Can we get a replay?
Oh!
That's targeting. That's targeting.
Good line there at the end.
Oh, man. Like,
that would have been all bad.
Hey, this is what was happening in the video, because I didn't see it.
Oh, well, Ugga's just walking around right outside Bevo's pen.
Yeah. Ugga had no idea. No. His handler picked up on what was happening and kind of
got him out of there.
Yanked him up out of there.
But the woman that was next to Bevo did not fare so well. She went down.
But Bevo really made a lunge
charge,
for him, right?
Charged at Ugga. Yeah. And this is another reminder as to why we shouldn't keep animals as mascots, everybody.
You know, it's going to be all she wrote when that LSU Tiger somehow gets out of
Wait,
his cage.
Wait, do they actually have a tiger?
They do. The Tiger. Yes. Don't you remember that was a trivia question one day?
He is 1,000%.
Penguin Pete yesterday. Mike
in a cage.
Tiger.
I do have some bad news about the Georgia-Texas game, though. Tomorrow, there will not be a rematch between Ugga and Bevo.
What?
With the game in Texas, Ugga is not traveling. So
Ugga was like,
I'm a little disappointed. Ugga's like, I'm going to stay at home and chew on my bones.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Ugga must have a pretty good life, though.
I think it's Ugga the Fourth. I think they've had four Uggas through the years, maybe five even.
Well, Ugga the Fourth probably had a better life than Ugga the First, because Ugga the Fourth
because of
more
improving
famous.
Conditions.
Yeah, yes, improving conditions. And
I will say one thing: I know Ugga was once on the cover of Sports Illustrated back when that mattered. It's a big story on mascots, and Ugga made the cover. So
I guess a bulldog's okay, but a longhorn seems to be a lot to bring to a football game.
Yeah, if you want to see a funny video, though, look up the Bevo versus Ugga matchup of 2019. Funny stuff. All right. Aztecs, by the way, if you're wondering, are off tomorrow. They're idle. And then 3-3.
Washington State
comes here next weekend. Yeah, that'll be a fun game. Aztecs still have a tough schedule.
Check that out.
Okay. Well, you're more than welcome to. Do you have any contacts over at the school?
I might have a couple. I haven't been to a football game yet.
Oh, yeah, you'll like
it. Yeah, I need to go.
You'll have a good time. The stadium is I think it's a good atmosphere, and you've got a good close ticket. Their schedule's not exactly a piece of cake the rest of the way. The Aztecs still face Washington State at Boise State to UNLV. So they got three tough games at least coming up the second half of the season. But I've liked what I've seen as the team has improved along the way.
Hey, bearer of misinformation.
Uh-oh.
Ugga is not just four generations.
He's past that now? Yeah.
11 generations.
Whoa!
This is Ugga the 11th?
This is Ugga the 11th.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks to M. McKee for that.
Thank you. 11th?
Since 1956.
I'm sorry to hear that seven Uggas have passed since I last checked on this.
Ten Uggas have
passed. No, but I was up to four.
Oh, okay.
I was up to four.
Okay.
But they're up to 11.
I mean, what's a Bulldog's lifespan? Like 8 to 10 years?
I don't know. Whoever that Ugga was that got attacked by Bevo almost had it in there. So.
Yeah, 8 to 10 years. Look at me.
Very good.
All right.
8-2 after the Pajes home run. Still fourth inning. Who knows? Maybe the Dodgers get back in this game. One thing we do know, we're going to talk baseball. Cody Decker, baseball podcaster, former Padre, joins us next on Gwynn and Chris.
3:36 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Dodgers down 8-2, two outs. Bases loaded for Mr. Freddie Freeman. We'll see how this goes. We'll have Cody Decker on here shortly to talk a little bit about this series.
It's a big moment here. They just took out the left-hander Peterson, and they brought in the righty reliever, Reed Garrett, to face Freddie Freeman. The Dodgers need this base hit or double or something to get back in this game, and I think this is big. I mean, if they start getting a little momentum, who knows? The 8-2 could be erased, Tony.
Yeah, no. 2-1 count. Cody Decker.
Why are you even putting that in the universe?
I mean, because it could happen. It's just getting everybody prepared. He's setting up the stage.
I mean, I honestly don't have an unbelievable allegiance to the Mets here.
Oh, neither do I, but there's one main goal that we all want, or are all striving for, and that's for the Dodgers not to win a World Series.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think the Mets are going to be able to stop them at this point. They may be able to stop them today.
I didn't know we had a Dodger lover on the show.
Yes, I grew up in L.A. and I went to.
I know.
Yeah, I told you I used to go see the Garv, my buddy the Garv.
I always get questions like, "Does Chris
a
use
Dodger
the Rockies
lover and a Giant lover
does,
in
does,
here?
Does Chris use the Rockies to cover up the fact that he's a Dodger fan?" And I type back, Yes.
Yeah, well, you get me in trouble with everybody out there.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. Here's some traffic.
Count is run full on Freddie Freeman, which always seems to be the case when the Dodgers are up at bat. Bases loaded. Top of the fourth. My dream to do a little play-by-play. Struck him out on a backdoor curveball. Looking. How about that? Mets hang on to the lead 8-2.
Backdoor breaking ball.
Yes.
Frozen.
Freddie gave up on it.
Oh, and a perfect pitch, too.
Got rung up properly. It was a good call.
He tried to play it off and drop his bat like, oh, that's ball four.
Gave it a shot, but didn't sell it well enough. So Mets continue to lead 8-2 there, Tony.
That was a big spot. I think you're absolutely right. That, you know, in the game where you're getting beat up like that, you want to at least chip away every little bit you can.
Yeah.
You get to those spots and you get nothing, those can be demoralizing. All right, let's jump to the phone line. One of my fave. Cody Decker joins us, Beetle and Decker, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, you can catch him on Bet for the Cycle, BetQL. How are you, my friend?
Oh, my guy, I am great. I'm literally just out right now watching this game. And isn't it amazing how no lead feels safe in any of these playoff games? It feels like it's a runaway, but no, it's not.
This is not. Cody, I mean, you said, I was listening to you and Michelle's show the other day, and you were talking specifically about the Dodgers and what's impressed you. As you mentioned, both series have been exciting. They may not necessarily end up being all that close when it's all said and done, but they have given us some moments. But you in particular were impressed with what you've seen on the Dodgers side.
Yeah, it's specifically with how Dave Roberts has actually worked this bullpen. I mean, the guy with the ability to go on national TV in the fourth inning the other day and literally say what his game plan is, say, hey, I'm trying to get three more outs out of Walker Buehler. We're going right to Kopech for Lindor, and then we'll see what happens. And that's exactly what played out. It's like he just said, here's my game plan. Stop me, and you just simply couldn't. It's been fascinating to see how well this bullpen has actually come together, all things considered, where everybody said the Dodger bullpen has been one of their biggest weaknesses all year.
Careful when you say that, Cody. They're going to come to get you.
I know. I can root for it. I'm just saying what it is.
That's funny. Cody Decker is our guest. Yeah, you know, they did it to the Padres, obviously, in the fourth game and, you know, on into the fifth game. And I think the stat is in their victories in the playoffs, their bullpen has thrown 30 consecutive shutout innings. The thing is this good for the game of baseball with the Dodgers? I know they kind of have to do it, but I just really want to see some starting pitcher take the bull by the horns and give me eight innings. But I think I'm going to be waiting a long while before it happens again.
You know, I think those days, as much as I want to say I love those days, I'm really kind of enjoying how this game is somewhat morphing into something new. I'm just worried about what it's going to actually do to, like, players' salaries. If you're paying somebody like Yamamoto $300 million and he's only going five-plus innings, then what is that going to do for the next generation of guys that are trying to sign who simply can't throw into the sixth inning? Like, we watched it with Blake Snell for how many years until this year, until they let him loose. And, wow, all of a sudden, Blake Snell actually is pretty damn good if you let him see in a lineup for a third time. Who knew? We never knew because no one would let him do it.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of fascinating to see, but I don't know if it's good for the game yet. I think time will tell. Yeah, I miss those gutty performances where a guy's going deep into the ninth, but I'm also fascinated. There's just so many good arms in baseball that it's almost selfish to give it to one guy.
Yeah. Cody, you obviously, I know, were one of the folks who looked at that Padres team and thought this team could go all the way. They could win a World Series title. Now, we've already talked about the Dodgers finding a way to pour cold water on it, but when you look at what the Padres had done up until game four of that series, it really did feel like there was going to be no team, at least in the National League, that was going to be able to stop it if it wasn't going to be for the Dodgers.
Agreed. I truly thought the Padres were the best team in Major League Baseball going into that series, and I truly thought it was over. Until game four happened, which I was honest to God shocked about. And when it came down to a game five, I truly believe this, and I said this on my show multiple times, and maybe you agree, Tony, maybe you would disagree. I'm actually very interested. I firmly believe if that was a seven-game series, the Padres would be in the NLCS right now.
Yeah.
If the five-game series, I think, kind of bit them a little bit because the Dodgers were able to run out the arms the way they were able to. You make it a seven-game series, all of a sudden that bullpen that everyone said was depleted actually is depleted.
Well, and the misery of the Padre fans would tell you that if they added another game, we'd just be 33 innings without a run. So I don't know exactly where that comes down. Cody Decker's our guest. Look, what happened to the Padres is hard to explain. How do you attack it if you're this organization moving forward? I mean, can you just ignore it and just say it was just a one-off and go into next season, or can this have an effect somehow?
I hope it doesn't have an effect in that, this is one of those rare times. You know, you hear that phrase all the time, like, you repeat the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. That's insanity. But I don't think this is that. I really don't. I think this was an outlier series. And I think if you roll this same team out there next year, this team is going to the playoffs, if not the World Series. Maybe they go to as a wild card again. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, considering the fact the Dodgers beating the Padres in the series is the first time in the National League since the bye's been implemented that a bye team's actually moved forward. So the Padres, I think, are in a decent spot. The question is, how good are the other teams in the National League West going to be? I know we look at the Dodgers nonstop, but you think the Diamondbacks aren't ready to replenish and get ready for this next season? The Giants are begging to spend money. They already got fleeced by Aaron Judge already. They got to get somebody.
It's funny because they clearly felt like they could have done better. They move on from Farhan. They bring in Buster Posey to kind of man the position. He's already done some work. He brings back their biggest free agent or soon to be free agent. And so let's talk about the American League Series. The Yankees and perhaps Yankees Garden is perhaps probably the most exciting game so far in this postseason. Yankees tie it on Judge and Stanton homers. The Guardians end up winning it, tying it in the ninth, winning it in the tenth. And I think there was some talk about Stanton being towards the bottom of the lineup. They move him up. He comes up in a big spot. I mean, how do you think the Yankees are in the same spot virtually that the Dodgers are in that series?
A little bit, but, man, I just can't count out these Guardians. I think it's going to be a six-game series going the Yankees' way. I don't think that the Yankees are just going to sweep through Cleveland because Cleveland has been the best home team in Major League Baseball. Stephen Vogt has just shown that he is, even though he's a first-year manager, you know, I played against that guy in the minor leagues for years. He is just a gutsy guy who really, really has some spark of magic with everybody. Literally everybody that comes in contact with Stephen Vogt believes that they are the best version of themselves. It's honestly very, I kind of equate it very similar to what Pat Murphy accomplished this year out in Milwaukee. It's just, this team is so good, and watching them actually come together, Jimenez with that play in the 10th, which might have been the best defensive play I've ever seen in an October game, followed by the two obviously beautiful home runs, this team just doesn't go away. It's like the Mets right now. Like, they are very unkillable. Why don't they die? I don't know, but they won't die.
Cody Decker does the podcast, Mad Dog Sports Radio, and all the good stuff, and nice enough to join us. Former Padre, talking some baseball. Now, the thing that's been interesting, and Tony just talked about the game last night, but there's been a bunch of games this year that have turned against bullpens. And I wonder if this will have an effect moving forward, because everybody says in these, especially seven-game series, you get to see the same reliever over and over and over again. Maybe finally you catch up to them. Could that change the way people think a little bit? Because, I mean, it's been fun for the fans, but I think it's probably driving managers crazy.
I think you're right, but I think this is, honest to God, A.J. Preller might have been ahead of the curve. When they got everybody they got bullpen-wise going into that trade deadline, I kind of almost spat out my drink going, oh, come on, you didn't even need that guy. But they got him anyways, and I'm looking at him like, I think if anything, that might be the trend. I don't think enough relievers, too many relievers is almost enough relievers at this point when it comes to Major League Baseball, and especially how the relievers are being used in games. We have more bullpen games in the playoffs than I ever remember seeing. There are no five-player staffs anymore. Everybody's hurt. the way the game is pitched now, everybody throws 95-plus, 100-plus, so the arms are going down. And by the time October comes around, you only have three healthy guys, so you better get all the bullpen arms you can get. If anything, that's the future of baseball. It's just bullpen games, man. And whether or not that's sexy will remains to be seen. But right now, in my opinion, this is the best October I've ever seen.
Cody, it's so interesting because I think over the last, I'd say, 10 years, it's been proven that you can win a World Series in different ways in terms of how you handle your pitching. We've seen teams like the Nationals put their best three starters, run those guys out, run them all the way to the title. We saw the Astros do a similar thing, throw their best starters out there, run it all the way to the title. But we've also seen in years, the Royals come to mind, you would have to say that any one of the four teams that show up in the World Series now is going to be doing it virtually via bullpen. It does show that there's a couple different ways to do it. It doesn't have to be one way.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the other thing. How glaring is it, the teams that have a quote-unquote closer, like a real closer, to the ones that are not? I mean, I'm in New York City right now. It was a therapy session today with all my callers today because everybody was just like, we don't got a closer. How can we win without a closer? I'm like, dude, look everywhere. Who has a closer? The best closer in baseball this year was Emmanuel Clase. He had a 0.6
That's right.
ERA. He gave up two home runs this season. He gave up 2 in 3 minutes last night. Baseball makes no sense, dude.
Yeah. It really doesn't.
Yeah, the postseason's been great because of that,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Cody. Now that the Padres are out, we are left to root for lesser things. And I think we're still rooting for Jackson Merrill to win the Rookie of the Year award. But a lot of us are kind of resigning ourselves to feeling like Paul Skenes is going to end up getting it. What are your thoughts? And especially being on the East Coast, do you think the people really got a fair look at Jackson Merrill the way we did?
No, I do not think people got a fair look at Jackson Merrill. How about this? Being on both coasts, playing for San Diego, living in San Diego, born and raised in L.A., and like living in L.A. and being in the sports landscape on both coasts, is there an East Coast bias? Yes. Yes, there is. My goodness, yes, there is. Anyways, Jackson Merrill should absolutely win the Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. He played every day. The numbers he put together, just take away everything he did and just say what he did from seventh inning on get him the award. It's astonishing what that kid pulled off this year. I do think it's going to be Paul Skenes because at the end of the day, it's not about the numbers and what you affected games. I keep looking at it as a human element and that it's writers that actually vote on this award.
100%.
And writers talked a lot and wrote a lot of papers about specifically Paul Skenes and not Jackson Merrill. And I know that's not the answer we want to hear, but I think it's the honest and true answer.
Unfortunately, I agree with you, Cole. I really do. I mean, it's a lot of times about the narrative, and it has already been set from the moment Paul Skenes got to the big leagues, Cole. Hey, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time. Congratulations on the success. You and Michelle's show is pretty awesome, man, and appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us.
Thank you,
sir. Dude, thank you for even having me. You guys are the best. Love you. Love San Diego. Dude, Padres, can we please do this next year? Please?
I think everyone's here with you, brother. Everyone's here with you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cody. Cody Decker. Beadle and Decker on Mad Dog Sports Radio. You can also catch him on Bet for the Cycle on BetQL.
He's got a great voice delivery, and his stuff is real good.
Yeah.
He's funny. He gets it. He reminds me a little of our guy from the Bay Area.
Oh, Dieter Kurtenbach?
Sounded similar to Dieter.
It's about time for us to catch up with Dieter.
Well, he's coming into basketball season.
What?
What now? Did you guys have a falling out?
No, we didn't have a falling out. I just don't agree with any of his opinions about the 49ers.
Right. He always is going pretty hard on the 49ers.
He's like, Brock Purdy stinks. No, Dieter's a fair guy.
I'll text him for
next week.
I like
Yes,
Dieter.
He does say that. But Dieter is a pretty fair guy. I mean, his takes aren't too crazy. But yeah, Decker is very good.
What I like about Dieter is he is not from the Bay Area, but he gives off Bay Area feel. You know what I'm saying? He's from the Midwest. But
he's also 6'7", too. So.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah,
big dude.
He's a huge dude. And
do you think the Mets have enough runs now, Tony? They just tacked on two more.
I think so.
10-2, still in the fourth inning.
I think they got enough at this point.
Seven of the nine Mets in the order have at least one RBI. And Alonso hit the three-run homer in the first, and they've been bashing the Dodgers ever since. So we'll see.
Everybody likes the sound of the Dodgers getting bashed.
That is happening to them today for sure.
Got a few minutes left before we head to break. What you got, Scrape?
I was just going to make some crazy hand signal that you're probably not going to understand. Yeah, so
I saw you move your hand. That's why I asked you.
I've learned. Okay?
You're landing planes over there again?
Yes, I'm landing planes.
We already got to traffic.
Yeah.
I read my read.
Yes, you did.
What else
we
you
did
got?
Cody Decker.
Yep.
Anything we just, you know, there.
Oh.
You made it.
I was going to say.
Were you about to give me stretch?
No, I was going
to
go 3-0, but then I was like, he's going to be like, what, 30 what? 30 nuggets? What?
4 o'clock hour on the other side. We got Chris versus Fan. We also want to get to Tony Bennett and the changing landscape for coaches at the collegiate level.
Not the singer, the basketball
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Former basketball coach.
Former basketball coach, yes. I think it's getting difficult for some of them. And we'll discuss in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to Chris on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.